Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I was very encouraged by Mr. Nitzberg from, I say Pittsburgh. He told me that. He said that it rhymes with Pittsburgh. It's Nitzberg. Very interesting. The subject he talked about is very similar to the one I'm going to talk about today. Very, very interesting. Several years ago, looking back, I had a 1963 Subaru F1. Now, that was one of the first Subarus ever made. I think it was classified as the third one off the production line. And I thought I had a wonderful piece of equipment that would last me for years, and I would take advantage of this energy saving because it got 34 miles per gallon, and I was commuting back and forth to Harrisburg at the time. So I thought, wow, this is really going to help us out, keep my gas expense down to a minimum, and I would have long and wonderful years with this Subaru. But one day, while driving on Route 322, leaving Harrisburg, because I had finished my day at work, and I was driving up 322, I was heading towards Dalton area, and suddenly my wonderful Subaru was starting to give me some complications. Now, I was not experienced mechanic, so I didn't know what the situation was, and I thought, well, I'll just keep driving, and maybe it will kind of work itself out. Maybe I got some bad gasoline. I'm not sure what the problem was, but I figured eventually it may work itself through. Well, I got to the point where suddenly the engine started racing, and I'm thinking, is this good? Because, I mean, there goes all my gasoline that I put in the gas tank. But it wasn't what I was thinking it was. What happened was my wonderful Subaru that I had, the F model F1, by the way, locked up. It locked up on me. And I'm trying to get it out of gear, and I'm trying to shift and do all kinds of things to try to maneuver. And this is 322, Route 322, so you know what kind of hot, heavy, and fast-moving highway we're talking about. So I'm stuck along the highway. I can't get it out of gear. Cars are beeping horns, and I don't know what to do. Well, as it turned out, I drive a lot, and so do you. And from time to time, we have to put ourselves, as we're driving, in gear, and we put it in the drive gear. But from time to time, we have to put it ourselves in reverse and look at ourselves and analyze what we call the rear view mirror of life. From time to time, especially when we're driving, we have to look at the rear view mirror when we're changing lanes or if we're passing vehicles in order to prevent an accident. Well, my Subaru locked up and I couldn't do that. But I did manage to get it in reverse, which I find it very interesting. I'm driving down the road, I've got it in reverse, and I think I can't drive all the way back to Harrisburg in reverse. Although it's possible. I started doing it because I was out in the middle of nowhere and I was hoping I'd know where Vince was, but he wasn't around at the time. So I was stuck. And brethren, my subject today, if you want a title, is Are You Stuck in Reverse? Now it's interesting because I own a Subaru now. Now this is a model Outback Subaru. And it's amazing how you go from one vehicle, which gave you a nightmare, to a same manufacturer, and it's a completely different situation. But my title is, Are You Stuck in Reverse? And that's what I want to talk about. I find it very interesting because Mr. Nitzberg kind of laid the foundation on some of the things I want to talk about. In fact, one specific area he did talk about, I'm just going to kind of go over it because I thought he did a good job with Lot, and I was going to talk about Lot and the situation about how he got stuck in reverse. I think he did a good job. But brethren, we can find ourselves stuck in reverse. And you say, how's that possible? But we're always looking back and not going forward. Our life, both past experiences, is like looking in a reverse mirror and reviewing it. Sometimes it looks great. Our past was wonderful. I can look back on my youth and think about all the wonderful things that took place when I was younger. And as I get older, as health becomes more of an issue as we grow older, we start thinking, boy, if we could only go back to the times when we were 18, when I had all this energy and vitality and I could play sports all day long and never be able to wear out. Well, times change, brethren. And if we just always looking in reverse, we're not going forward. Now, that could be an extremely dangerous to our spiritual growth. If we're constantly looking back at our reverse conditions of things, what used to be, all the wonderful things that we did, and we never put it back in gear to go forward and drive and move forward, we can find ourselves spiritually in a spiritual dangerous position. To think that our past is better than the future is a natural human characteristic. Many individuals reminisce about the good old days. Remember, there's even songs written out about good old days and wishing to go back to the good old days. But you think about it, I think each and every one of us can look back on those good old days, or looking back, as I'm talking about here, in reverse, stuck in reverse. The good old days weren't always good old days. I talked about my transmission situation that locked up on me on 322. That wasn't a good old day. And I can talk about other days that weren't good old days. And I'm sure each and every one of you can talk about days that weren't good old days. And yet sometimes we reminisce and start thinking, well, boy, if I could just go back and make corrections of all the mistakes that I did in my life, and I could then move forward. God understands when we think about that, when we look back at in reverse, and we're stuck in reverse sometimes, because what happens is the mistakes we made when we were young sometimes stays with us for the rest of our lives. They affect us for the rest of our lives. And we can end up stuck in reverse and can't get out of those mistakes that we made. And it can be traumatic. Pregnancies, teenage pregnancies, we're dealing with drug conditions or situations that people have made mistakes, marriage, divorces, or tragedies that have happened in our past. And they affect us to the day we die, some of these mistakes that we made. And that's why sometimes we can get stuck in reverse. Brethren, God does not expect us to stay stuck in reverse. He expects us to move forward. The kingdom is forward. It is coming. And if we go in reverse, we're going away from the kingdom. We're not going towards the kingdom. We're going in reverse, and we're going back to our former ways. Now, the Bible's interesting because it does talk about things like that, about being stuck in reverse. And now, it doesn't come out and say when you're stuck in reverse, but it does imply that when individuals are in a state of condition that they're looking back and they're stuck in reverse, to be careful. Be very, very careful, because the reverse position is not moving forward to the kingdom. Rather, it's taking you away from the kingdom, because it brings back all the terrible conditions that you may have experienced. And then, like I said, some of these experiences may stay with you for the rest of your life. And it's hard. King Solomon, who was a wise man, he understood that. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Here, King Solomon, understanding that the past, for many of us, is wonderful times. And we should rejoice and enjoy the things that we were able to do when we were young. But if we're stuck on all the things we did when we were young, and we don't look forward to the kingdom, our whole life is centered around the past. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we'll look at verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "Shall not you, what is the cause that the former days were better than these?" And people say, boy, if I could only go back to when I was a teenager, or when I was in my 20s, all those wonderful days that I experienced, and not enjoy the days we're living currently. It says, "or better than these, for you does not inquire wisely concerning this." And so Solomon's telling us, you need to look at every day, not just the former days and what they were, and consider them better than the current days that we're living. You can make or break any day. You can make it better or you can make it worse. And King Solomon is giving us wise advice here. Don't look back and say how wonderful the past was, but consider the days that you're currently living in. and make the best of those days, as we're told. Now, looking back is not always a bad situation. Looking back gives us some understanding of what we've gone through and what individuals in the Bible have done and what they've gone through. And we can learn valuable lessons from that. And so looking back is okay, but if we're stuck in reverse and we can't get out of reverse, then it becomes a tragedy and it takes us away from the kingdom. The Bible does tell us, of course, that we should use the past for the right motives and the right purpose and encourage each other. We can look back in the rearview mirror, but we should learn the mistakes of others and not experience the mistakes of others. That's the key. If we're stuck in reverse and we're seeing the mistakes of others and we make the same mistakes as they do, what did we learn? Well, we learned that we got stuck in reverse is what we learned, and we couldn't get out. So, brethren, I'm going to talk about stuck in reverse. It's interesting. The Apostle Paul provides us with interesting information over in Romans 15. If you turn to Romans 15. Well, Paul understood this too. And he says, it's okay to look back, but don't get stuck in reverse, is what he's telling us basically. Over in Romans 15, we'll look at verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So the things that happened in the past was for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And what is that hope? That hope is the kingdom of God. So we're moving forward to the kingdom of God. We can look back, we can put ourselves in reverse temporarily and look back on the conditions of situations that occurred for our learning. They're written in the Bible for our learning to understand what individuals experienced. But we're not supposed to stay back in reverse and stuck in reverse. Rather, we're supposed to go forward, like it says here, to forward towards the great hope, which is the kingdom of God. Now, the God of patience, consolation, in verse 15 or verse 5, grant you that you be like-minded one towards another according to Jesus Christ. So he wants us to learn and experience what life has to offer. Life can be a wonderful experience, but we can also learn from the mistakes. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10. Again, Paul, with his wisdom that he had, instructs us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll look at verse 11. Now again, here Paul is telling us, now all these things happened unto them. So we're looking back. We're in reverse now. Looking back at examples. It says, for examples. And that they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So it's okay to go back in reverse sometimes. Look at conditions of what individuals have experienced, the examples that they have for us, that they're written for our admonition. That we can learn from those mistakes and not get stuck in reverse and stay in reverse. But rather, we can learn and then we can go forward. It's very, very interesting. One of the faults and characteristics of the Israelites. Now, the Israelites came out of Egypt with a mighty, mighty hand. The miracles that God performed for the Israelites, they were just on a high note. I mean, they were so excited and relieved that they were no longer in slavery. They were now out of Egypt, and they were moving forward. Okay, so now they're out of reverse, and they're going forward, and they're driving, and they're going into the wilderness. But you know, it didn't take them long to get looking in the rearview mirror again and looking behind them and start thinking about Egypt. As we heard in the sermonette, their heart was back in, Lot's heart was back in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, the Israelites' hearts were also, from time to time, stuck in reverse, and their hearts were back in Egypt. We can read about that in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And here, the Israelites, they were just taken out into, heading towards the promised land, which they were looking forward to. And suddenly, it says in verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the fresh pots And we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness. They're looking in the reverse now. Now they're looking backwards. They're going backwards. To kill us with this, the whole assembly, with hunger. So the first situation they deal with is they deal with a condition of hunger. And they start looking back in the rearview mirror and they say, remember when we were back in Egypt, we had all this wonderful bread, we had all this food to eat, and now we're out here in this wilderness and you brought us out, and God, you're going to kill us in the wilderness of hunger. Well, they were stuck in reverse. And it's interesting, the whole time they wandered through the wilderness, they were stuck in reverse. You can read about it. Again, you can continue. God fed Israel with manna. Remember the wonderful blessing of manna when they were hungry? And what did the people say? There's nothing to eat except this manna. So they murmured and complained again. They're stuck in reverse. They're looking at, look at all the wonderful things we had back in Egypt, and now we've got to eat this manna. And they got tired of it. And they complained and murmured against Moses, and God said, no, they're not complaining and murmuring against you, they're complaining and murmuring against me. And so God looked at that, and they continued to murmur. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 11. I'm not going to turn there because of time. Verses 5 and 6 about the manna. What about the Red Sea? They come up to the Red Sea, and they're going forward, and all of a sudden they're up against the Red Sea. And they're looking back in the rearview mirror, and they're in reverse again. They're saying, here comes the Egyptians. They're going to take us back to Egypt. They're going to kill us. So they're thinking, again, in reverse. They're stuck in reverse. Ancient Israel is a wonderful lesson for each and every one of us. And sometimes our lives get stuck in reverse. We can read about the Israelites and realize it's a very dangerous situation to be in, to be stuck in reverse. They're constantly looking back and not going forward. God said, move forward. And he opened up the Red Sea, and they walked through, and they went forward. And they praised God, and they gave him thanks. So they were in forward, in drive, and then they were stuck in reverse from time to time, but then they go back forward again. It was like shifting gears, just like the car that I had. They got stuck one time, and we couldn't get it, but it did go in reverse. And so ancient Israel was constantly going forward, going backwards, going forward, going backwards, going forward, going backwards. And it's a valuable lesson for all of us to learn. We too can find ourselves going forward, going backwards, going forward, going backwards. And it can happen very, very easily. I mentioned about events that take place in our lives affect us for the rest of our lives. And sometimes those events that take place, just like the ancient Israelites, when they lacked wisdom and faith in God, they ended up looking back and getting stuck in reverse in the rearview mirror. For Christians looking back with desire, they can be deceived by Satan. He can take advantage of that situation when we're stuck in reverse. And he can use that to his advantage. So we've got to be very, very careful, brethren, when we look back and we're stuck in reverse. We're told over in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I think it's... I picked this subject this week because I had four subjects. And I was struggling all week long. What do I talk about? I had one I was going to talk about teenagers. I had one I was going to talk about, is God fair? And I had another subject I was going to talk about. And I came upon this subject because I was just thinking, you know, we just came out of the days of unleavened bread. And we're moving forward, brethren. That's what God expects us, to move forward, to go put the sin behind us and move forward. But brethren, it's so easy to get stuck back in reverse and start thinking, oh, I got all these problems in it. I can't seem to overcome them, and we can get stuck in reverse. So that was my thought patterns this week as I was preparing the sermon. And then it was kind of neat with Mr. Nitzberg brought up his subject about your heart being back in Gomorrah. Because that's what happens, brethren. That's exactly what happens. When we get stuck in reverse, we go back. Oh, I wish I could have just be back when I was a teenager. I wish I could be doing these things. And we get stuck in reverse, and our heart goes back to the things that we used to do. And sometimes that's not always a good thing, brethren, because Satan will take advantage of it. One fault that was consistently with the Israelites was that looking back and being stuck in reverse. When they trudged through the wilderness and they were thirsty and hungry, they constantly complained and murmured and was complaining to God. The Israelites forgot what it was really like when they lived in Egypt. It wasn't all wonderful in Egypt. The pots weren't full, as they were thought, expressed. Bread wasn't so relatively available as they thought it was in their mind. They lived a false concept in their mind, and they got stuck in reverse because in their minds they thought this was so wonderful. They were enslaved. Many times they were beaten and abused and taken advantage of. So it wasn't wonderful times that the ancient Israelites was experiencing. And we too, we beat ourselves up over and over again over situations in the past. And that's when we get stuck in reverse, when we think about the stupid things we do. And I call them stupid things because we all do stupid things. I mean, you can look back on your lives and start thinking, why did I do that? That was stupid. We all do stupid things. And sometimes we get hung up or stuck in reverse over the stupid things we do in life. Brethren, it's not good to be stuck in reverse. Yes, we have to look at the mistakes we made, the stupid things we've done, but we got to get out of that reverse. Just like my transmission that locked up on me when I was on 322, I had to get a tow truck. I couldn't get it out. It was stuck. And I called my dad then when I got to Harrisburg, and I said, Dad, I can't get out of here. He said, well, send it to a transmission shop and see what they want. Well, moral of the story, I paid more for the transmission than I did for the car originally. I fixed it, got it back on the road again, got it out of stuck in reverse, and I sold the car for a lot less than what I paid for a transmission. But the person that bought it was happy. I don't know where it's at. It's probably gone, long gone. It was a 63 Subaru F1. But again, we have to move forward, brethren, each and every one of us. We can look back on the mistakes we made in our lives, and they can get us stuck in reverse. But we can't stay stuck in reverse. No matter how much Satan will take advantage and use that against us, we can't stay stuck in reverse. It's so important that we move forward. Once we've been convicted of God's truth and we understand the purpose of life, it's just a natural process of getting out of a reverse and going forward. We see our past as emptiness, as mistakes, as stupid things we did. And no longer do we look at those things necessarily with pleasure. It's like, boy, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't be suffering all the situations to this day. I mentioned situations like teenage pregnancies. That stays with the mother for the rest of her life, even if she commits an abortion. And many have done that. But, you know, they took surveys and they questioned mothers who had abortions done. And there's a longing in their heart and in their mind that they wish they hadn't done that. That was a major mistake. And that's a reverse that they get stuck in sometimes. And they never get over that. Many individuals, women who have done abortions, never ever get over it. It's been heartrending to hear of situations. Okay, I want to refer to Luke. I started to go back to Luke and then I got off on that other area. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Now Paul and Jesus Christ are encouraged here to tell us, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. Now if you want to put stuck in reverse, you can put that in there, but the scripture says, and looking back, so they're looking back, they're going backwards, or they're stuck in reverse, is fit for the kingdom of God. See how serious this is? If you're stuck in reverse, you're not going forward to the kingdom of God. And you're not going to be in the kingdom of God because you're going to be constantly going the wrong direction. Going backwards is not going forward to the kingdom. It's taking you away from the kingdom. And it's getting you in reverse and stuck in reverse. So it's very, very important that we realize it. Now looking back at Sodom and Gomorrah, and of course we heard that in the sermonette, so I'm just going to refer briefly about that. Lot, the nephew of Abraham, was a godly man. And God was pleased overall with Lot. And Peter said, as we heard in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, you can refer to that, chapter 2, verse 7, 2 Peter, that the righteous man dwelt among the unrighteous, and he was tormented. He was tormented greatly by the sins of the nation. But, you know, he too got stuck in reverse, just like we heard in the sermonette. His heart lingered back. Why? Because his other children were back there. When God grabbed Lot by the hand, and he grabbed his wife's hand, by the hand, and his two daughters by the hand, and took them out of the city, and says, go and flee to the mountain. What happened to Lot's wife? She looked back. They were told not to look back. And as soon as she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. And so the consequence of that was her heart, or she was stuck in reverse, and she looked back. Lot, too, wanted to look back, but fortunately for him, he stayed forward. He was kind of stuck in neutral for a period of time. He wanted to look back, but he knew he couldn't, so he kind of moved forward, and then he went forward. But as Mr. Nisberg said, he wanted to change the plan of God. They said, go to the mountain. Well, God, I can't go to the mountain because I'm afraid of evil that may fall upon me. God says, go and flee. Well, as it turned out, like I say, even Lot was stuck in reverse for a period of time. So you can see, even righteous men have been counted stuck in reverse. Lot was an example. And when he went to his other children, they didn't go out with him. Did you notice it was only his wife and two daughters that went? His married daughters didn't go. And his son-in-laws didn't go with him. In fact, they kind of mocked him. They made fun of him. Said, ah, you know, here he comes. And it refers to that they kind of laughed at him. But, you know, if he would have lingered, like Mr. Nisberg said, he would have been stuck in reverse, and he would have been destroyed, just like Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. But God, out of his mercy, out of his love, he understood that Lot had some great concerns for his other family members back in Sodom and Gomorrah. And that lingers at your heart when your children are stuck back, and you want to kind of bring them out of that, but you can't bring somebody out of reverse. You can only do it yourself, and that's through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every one of us. We can't do it, brethren. If you think you can get yourself out of reverse yourself, you're going to stay in reverse, and you're going to be locked in neutral position, and you can't get out of it. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to get out of the reverse condition and move forward and be going forward to the kingdom. That's why it's so important that we are constantly, if we do look back, it's only for the benefit of growing spiritually, to realize how far we've come from the mistakes we made when we were young and stupid and did dumb things, to the time we gain some wisdom and we're moving forward and we're using the Holy Spirit to overcome and grow and go forward to the kingdom. It's sad for Mrs. Lot. I don't even know if the Bible even says what her name is. When I think about it, it says Lot's wife. So Mrs. Lot, I guess I'll call her. She got stuck in reverse, and unfortunately she paid the penalty of being stuck in reverse. And you can read about that over in verse 26. Of Exodus 19. And again, it wasn't just a curious look back that she had looked back. There was a desire to go back, and that's why she looked back. She had life pretty good back in Sodom and Gomorrah. Things were pretty good for Lot. They were wealthy. They had a good life. They had children. They had blessings. And even though the world around them was going in evil conditions, and there was some terrible things that so bad that God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, her heart was back there, and so was her gear. She was stuck in reverse, and unfortunately she paid the penalty. Life sometimes seems good, too good to give up. People say, I can't live this lifestyle, and people give up the faith. Unfortunately, they give up their salvation, and they get stuck in reverse. It's interesting, I'm going to talk a little bit more. Giving up the past. A person cannot remain a true Christian while constantly stuck in reverse. He can't. He can't be a true Christian while constantly stuck in reverse. When you yearn for the former things, when you want to go back and do all the things that you did when you were a kid or teenager or a young married person, that just pulls you back and puts you back in reverse. Brethren, Jesus said over here, and let's look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, and we'll look at verse 33. I'm breaking into the thought here. Luke chapter 14, verse 33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has. So we have to put everything that we have behind us He cannot be my disciple. So we have to go forward. We have to put the past in the past. Jesus even encourages us that we must retain a solid relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. That's how we go forward. We don't do it on ourselves. If we trust in ourselves, we're going to fail miserably. But it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that true Christians can stay focused and be moving forward and not stuck in reverse and not able to get out. And of course, a person's weaknesses that we talked about earlier can be some of the toughest situations that keep pulling us back in reverse. But brethren, if you've asked for forgiveness and you were baptized, all your past sins are gone. They're stuck in reverse back there, but they're not where you're at. You're moving forward. And so you don't have to keep looking back and worrying about the sins and the problems that you made before you were baptized. Once you were baptized, you're moving forward. And that's what God expects each and every one of us to be, in the drive position, not in the reverse position, but in the drive position. Jesus told us that he needs to sell all his possessions over in Matthew chapter 13. We can refer to that. This was a young man, Matthew chapter 13. We'll look at verse 18. Actually, I'm going to go to 19, Matthew 19. I'm going to go back to 13 later. Matthew 19, my bifocals give me problems today. Chapter 19, verse 16. Behold, one came unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So this individual was moving forward, and he wanted to know how he could continue to go forward towards the kingdom of God. What good thing shall I do that I can have eternal life? Which is what moving forward presents to us, the eternal life and kingdom of God. Verse 17, and he said unto you, why call you me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. So there he gave him very sound advice. Keep the commandments. Now notice what it says here in verse 18. And he said unto him, which? And Jesus said, you shall do no murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and tomorrow is Mother's Day, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So again, remember the mothers. Verse 20, the young man said unto him, all these things I've kept from my youth. So what do I lack? What do I lack? So he's going in the right direction. He's going forward. He's keeping the commandments. He's doing all these wonderful things. Notice what Jesus says here. Verse 21. Jesus says unto him, if you be perfect, go and sell that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. So he's giving him an opportunity to be a disciple. Verse 22. But when the young man heard these things saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And notice what Jesus says here. Verse 23. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. But that doesn't say a rich person cannot be in the kingdom of God. What it says is some rich people get stuck in reverse. And this individual, he was moving forward, but when he realized that he had to give up all that he had, suddenly he got stuck in reverse. He started thinking about this. I can't give up all these wealth possessions. And he went away sorrowful. He went away sad, it says here. Sorrowful. Because he had such great possessions. He was getting stuff in reverse. Because he looked at all his physical possessions. He wasn't looking forward to the kingdom of God. God was offering him discipleship and the opportunity of being in the kingdom of God. But this individual, he was looking back. And he saw his physical possessions and he got stuck in reverse. Again, it's another tragedy that happens in life. People get stuck in reverse and it ruins them for the rest of their lives. That's why we got to be very careful, brethren. If any of us are stuck in reverse and things that we've made, mistakes we've made, coming out of the days of unleavened bread should be encouraging for each and every one of us, because it tells us, go forward to the next holy day, which is the receiving of God's Holy Spirit on Pentecost. That's moving forward, brethren. But if we allow ourselves to get stuck in reverse, we miss the whole boat. And as I said, it can destroy us to the point where we actually may not even be in God's kingdom because we get so weighed down of being stuck in reverse. For someone else, the idols may not be riches, but pleasures of this world. This world has a lot to offer. And I want to encourage our young people not to get caught up in the pleasures of the world. Because, unfortunately, the pleasures of the world will take you away from God. Yes, there are some wonderful things out there, and God plans to give us wonderful things in His kingdom. And that's why we got to keep looking forward to the kingdom. Because it is the kingdom, when it's established, we will have all the wonderful gifts that God has entitled for us. Life's not easy. It never will be. Christ says, if I've suffered, you're going to suffer as a Christian. So it's not going to be easy being a Christian. And sometimes the tough times are the times we get stuck in reverse. As we saw examples of ancient Israel and Lot and many individuals. It's interesting, there's two gears that we have the opportunity to go in. Technically three, but I don't like neutral, so I'm not going to use neutral. I'm going to concentrate on drive and reverse. There's two main gears that you're going to be using most of your life. You're either going to go forward or you're going to go backwards. Those are the two main gears. The encouraging thing is there are individuals in the Bible that are going forward. And they're not stuck in reverse. And they're there for our example as well. That when we get stuck in reverse sometimes, there's something, wow, how do I deal with this? Read about these examples of individuals who moved forward. I think one of the greatest examples that we have is Noah. Noah was an interesting man. He was told to build an ark because God was going to destroy the earth. Now people are mocking him and laughing at him and say, why are you building a boat out here in the middle of nowhere? You know, it hasn't rained here for years and years, and you're building this huge boat? And they were just making mockery and fun. Now Moses, he stayed committed. He stayed forward. He followed through with it. And he fulfilled his assignment that God gave him. Imagine yourself as Noah for just a few minutes. And you're given the instructions to build an ark. And so you have the chance to either be going forward or say, Lord, why should I build an ark? It hasn't rained for hundreds of years. And why do you want me to build? You could start being stuck in reverse. Or rather, follow the example of Noah, who was very positive. He said, yes, Lord, follow through. His sons participated, and his wife and daughters participated, daughter-in-laws. And they fulfilled the assignment, and they went forward. And so there's an example of somebody who was not stuck in reverse. He could have been. He could have looked around him and saw all the moaning and complaining of people laughing and mocking and said, why am I doing this? You know, what's the purpose? I know God said he's going to destroy the earth, but it hasn't rained. He could have easily got stuck in reverse, but no. He trusted in God, he had faith in God, and he moved forward. And he stayed the course, and he continued to do. Moses is another wonderful example of individual who moved forward. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have had a pleasant life. He could have been back with Pharaoh's family, had all the riches and the wealth and all the possessions that Moses could have received. And yet, it's interesting. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It wasn't out of disrespect for the daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, but rather, in verse 25, chose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So, here, Moses, he was not stuck in reverse. He understood that he could have had the pleasures of life, he could have had all the wonderful possessions that the Pharaoh offered him, but rather, it says, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches, is what he said, than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect for the recompense of the reward. He understood the full reward of going forward. And so, yes, he became a vagabond, rejected, and he forsook the wrath of the king. He had to endure for a period of time, seeing those who were constantly plaguing him as well. And he could have got stuck in reverse. He could have said, what? These people are murmuring and complaining against me. These Israelites, I'm trying to bring them out of Egypt, and they're telling me, leave them alone. So he could have got stuck in reverse. And it's not worth it. It's not worth it. These people are just a bunch of complainers, and they're not satisfied with anything. I'm getting out of here. I'm going back to Pharaoh's daughter and live a rich life. He could have done that. He could have got stuck in reverse. But rather, Moses, he chose to live with the people, God's people. And God instructed him that he was going to use him to bring Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, and go to the promised land. It's a wonderful story of another individual who was not stuck in reverse. Moses is another example of a man who went forward. He could have easily got stuck in reverse and lived a wonderful life for the rest of his life, died, and would have been happy with all the pleasures of sin for a short season. But rather, God had a different road for him. God was going to humble him and bring him to a point where he was going to use him for a purpose, and he did. And Moses understood that, and he went forward, and he was not stuck in reverse. The entire chapter of 11 is a story of individuals who've never looked back in their rearview mirror or got stuck in reverse. You can read the entire chapter of individuals. And some of it's sad stories. Individuals that were sawed asunder, martyred, abused, ridiculed, laughed at. You can read about it. Like I say, some died at sea. It's not an easy life, brethren. It's not an easy life being a Christian. God never said it would be easy, but he said it's well worth it. It's certainly well worth it. And if we stay in the drive position and moving forward, we won't get caught up and stuck in reverse, as so many people have done. The entire chapter 11 is a wonderful chapter to read when sometimes we get down in the dips and we start thinking, oh, woe is me. If things would have been better, I wouldn't have to deal with these things. Read chapter 11. Read what some of these people went through. And then you say, wow, my life's like a breeze compared to what some of these people went through. These people went through some very tough times. I mean, we can look at all the examples. This is by faith in chapter verse 7. Being warned of God of things not seen yet. Moved with fear. He moved with fear. Prepared the ark to save his house. And by which he was condemned, the world was condemned, that he was able to live a righteous life by faith. These are wonderful examples for all of us, brethren. Noah prepared the ship and got into the ship and sailed away as he was told to do. And Abraham is another example. He went out not knowing where he was going to go. Remember, God says, I'm going to take you. And then the example of his son, sacrificing of his son. Can you imagine? He could have been stuck in reverse. I'm not going to do this. That's murder. God doesn't expect me to murder my son. He could have went in reverse. He could have got stuck in reverse. He said, no, I refuse to do this. I'm not going to murder my son. But he had trust and faith in God. And he knew that whatever it was, God was not going to have him do something that was not good for his good. It was a valuable lesson for him as well, for Abraham and his son. So again, these are wonderful examples that we can look back at individuals. So in one sense, we can go back in reverse for the purpose of growing and developing and understanding what God has for mankind, for all of us. But we don't stay in reverse, brethren. We don't stay locked in that gear. We move forward and we go forward. The trials and the mockings and the scornings that sometimes we experience are hard. I remember growing up as a child dealing with conditions that were difficult. But, you know, I can look back and say Christ, he went through a lot of things too. He suffered a lot of things, and he went and he stayed on course. He kept moving forward. He wasn't stuck in reverse. And so we all have to continue to deal with being tormented sometimes, being afflicted, struggling with conditions from time to time. It's not an easy road, brethren, and I don't want to paint this wonderful picture where we're all going to have a lolly-dolly dance into the kingdom of God. The times ahead are tough. The generations that are coming up behind us and the generations behind them are going to be dealing with perilous times. And so it's not going to be an easy time into the kingdom. We're not all going to be dancing right into the kingdom and things are going to be wonderful. When you read Revelation, when you read all the prophecies of what's going to happen in the near future, that can knock us into reverse and scare us into thinking, I don't want to experience all these terrible things. And we can get stuck in reverse, brethren, and worry about ourselves, the flesh. You know, the flesh is temporary. The kingdom of God is eternal, and it's going to be forever. So we have to stay focused. We have to stay to the course and move forward and deal with whatever God presents to us. None of us know what we're going to experience. It's hard. Some of us may have to deal with some adverse conditions, some terrible times ahead. But brethren, we have to stay focused. We have to realize the kingdom of God is the wonderful result of moving forward. It's just like I've always said, and I'll continue to say this probably till the day I die. It's like going through a tunnel. You go through that tunnel and it gets dark. And you start looking around and sometimes maybe a little scared. And start thinking, where are we going? Why is God taking me this way? Why can't he just take me on the other side? But we got to go through dark tunnel to get to the other side sometimes. And sometimes those tunnels can be very, very scary. And if we're not moving forward, what happens? We get stuck in reverse. We can find ourselves stuck in reverse. So it's very, very important, brethren, that we constantly be moving forward. We can't stand still. My car did. It left me on 322 standing still. Now, I could throw it in reverse for some reason, and I could have drove backwards and drove all the way back to Harrisburg and got to the transmission and say, but it wasn't safe. It wasn't safe to drive in reverse. And it's not safe to be stuck in reverse, brethren. None of us need to be looking back and being stuck in reverse. The encouraging thing is God's for us. He has a plan for each and every one of us to be in his kingdom. What a wonderful plan that God has for each and every one of us. He expects us to be in his kingdom. And he expects us to be moving forward and growing in grace and knowledge of his word. Those who grow in grace and knowledge, who are moving forward, will be the pillars in the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful opportunity for each and every one of us, brethren. Let's not ever get stuck in reverse. I know it can happen. Our past can pull us back and get us looking back at the terrible things that may have happened in our life. I met a woman one time, and she told me about the terrible things that happened in her life. And those things still affect her to the rest of her life. But brethren, we can't let the past rule us. That's the wonderful thing. God's rooting for us. He has us moving forward for a purpose. He expects us to go forward, to be in the kingdom of God, and to look forward to it, and to constantly be staying in the forward position. Our job as Christians is to go forward, not to go backwards. Our job as Christians is to go forward and not backwards. We need to have faith in God, trust in him, because we can't move forward without the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us and leading us. Paul states over in Philippians chapter 3. I use Paul a lot today. And normally I go into Proverbs. But this is probably one of the first times I don't go into Proverbs, because I think this subject, although there's probably scriptures in Proverbs that would encourage us to go forward as well. Over in Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to refer to verse 13. Notice what Paul says here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press towards the mark for the high price calling of God in Jesus Christ. And what is the prize and the high calling of Jesus Christ? The kingdom of God. So even Paul understood, I don't look back. He didn't look back and get stuck in reverse, but rather he's another example of individuals who are moving forward. He says, I move forward. And he's looking forward. He pressed towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity each and every one of us has to be able to be in the kingdom of God. It wasn't our choice. None of us would have chosen the kingdom of God growing up, because we didn't, being led by a different spirit. But as soon as we received God's Holy Spirit, it showed us the plan of God. It showed us where we were, need to be. And it gave us the understanding of moving forward and being in the kingdom. That's when we had the wonderful opportunity of knowing the purpose for each and every one of us. Brethren, don't ever get stuck in reverse. And if you do, cry out to God for help. He's there to listen, to help, if we ever get stuck in reverse. And brethren, we don't have to stay stuck in reverse.